Hey, this is Father Voskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about spirituality, about all good things. The Next Step, well, in The Next Step, we look at life through some very ancient lenses, polished up in a new manner. We call that the polish of Armenian Orthodoxy, and we invite you to look through them with us. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the Inishu's mission, and is brought to you by Apostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. I will refrain from the usual references to the next step metaphors. You know, let's walk, let's run. No one is running these days in Southern California. It is so hot and humid. Monday was a scorcher. Wow, we hit some big time temperatures over there. I don't know if you got a chance to see it on the ABC website. That was funny. Somebody had taken some ice cream and put it on the pavement. It was 113 degrees. That's Fahrenheit, of course. What is that? About 45 Celsius? Yeah, if it was 100 and, if it was 113 Celsius, yes, right, Ken. Yes, our blood would be boiling at that point. Anyway, it was 113 Fahrenheit. It was a record. I have lived in Southern California most of my life. I don't remember any day like that. It was a record for sure. And like I said, on the ABC website, if you got a chance to watch it, it's funny. Somebody's got like an ice cream bar and doing some photography, doing some video of it. I guess everybody's a videographer now with the new phones and everything. So he's taking a picture of it. And it is this ice cream bar melting on the pavement. Well, what else do you think it's going to do? It's 113 degrees. I guess it's just kind of funny watching it melt, and you say, okay, and then? Anyway, I guess you got to see it to understand. It's just like one of those things, like, why? We know it's hot. Anyway, do not run to this show today. It is like a scorcher, I think, just about everywhere. It's really humid. We've got some thunder going on, so as I'm talking, if you hear the windows rattle, it just, you know, this intense heat inside of this Apostle studio. I know. It's a kind of a neat studio over here. I shouldn't complain, but you know, the windows do rattle. But listen, we won't rattle any nerves. We won't rattle any feelings today, because we've got a great show for you. I've got to start off by thanking everyone for the wonderful comments that we got, especially for Ani's bubbles. It was great having Ani back with us, and she's of course got her bubbles for today coming up in a few minutes. But yeah, it was a baller. Not a dry eye in the house. What happened? Kleenex stocks went up the next day?
No brag.
Everybody, it was like so emotional. Yeah, who owns Kleenex? Let's see. Yeah, you're right. Let's tell them. Scott Towels? No. Kimberly Clark. That's it. Yes, thank you. Kimberly Clark. If you're out there, you're listening to us, you want to sponsor us, maybe we could talk to Ani. I mean, she has got a talent for writing. You know, we've been putting her blog spot on our show notes. I hope you've been following it, because you get a little chance of seeing what Ani's up to in her professional career. But as part of our bubbles, I mean, she really gets us going. And that was a very special bubble. It was a very emotion-packed bubble. And I know so many of you appreciate it, and I thank you for your responses. She's coming up in a few minutes with today's installment, of course. We're going to talk about revolution today. You would never guess who would be 70 years old this week. All right, that's enough of a hint, okay? Revolution and 70 years old. We're going to be talking about that coming up in a few minutes. I'm going to be telling you about some of the neat things that are happening at Apostle. We're adding a program to our line of broadcast beginning next week. We also have some video that you will not want to miss. That's what we'll tell you about in a few minutes. We start off every podcast with a song of the day. Why don't we do that first, okay? Let's get that done with, put us in the mood, and then get us moving into all of the things that we're going to be talking about today. We've got a great show lined up. up for you, and I'm thankful that you're with us right now, and I invite you to stick around and hear all the good stuff that's happening. We're going to be listening to a song right now. The title of it is 1111, and I won't even explain why I picked this. I'll let some of you next steppers who are very astute in finding these number equations, I'll let you figure that out, okay? Why did I pick this song? It's called 1111, and it is by Rodrigo y Gabriela. There, I resisted doing the voiceover on that. Those were very pretty notes at the end. I wasn't expecting those piano notes to come up. That is a group called Rodrigo y Gabriela, actually a duo. And that song is called 1111. And I'll let you figure out why I played it today, because it's neither here nor there. What is today is we're going to be talking about some different music of a revolutionary kind. And actually, I appreciated the many comments that we got last week. Jethro Tull was playing at the Yerevan Opera Hall, and over there, I heard the concert was fantastic, and we played some music. We talked about the imagination, the ability to create in musical forms. And of course, that was an interesting dialogue that people asked me. In fact, one of our listeners wrote and said, could you do a special just on music that you play, the different music that you do, and maybe do some description of that music? And I think I would love to. I would love to, but I'm trying to figure out how do we put it in the context of, well, the scope of things. And today, definitely, it is right in the scope of what we're talking about, because you know I'm cautious about this, because I know that question marks do come up. If you're not a regular Next Step listener, all of a sudden you say, well, what are you playing Jethro Tull on an Armenian Orthodox show, Armenian church show? And you know, Orthodoxy is beyond ethnicity. Orthodoxy, we'd like to believe, is something that comes to us from the beginning of time. And many times when you hear about combinations of like Jethro Tull playing in Armenia to an Armenian audience, you've got to realize what's going on in people's minds. That here are the children of the Armenian church being influenced by other sources, let's say, by other things coming in. And that's really what the premise of this whole show is. And that's why I've coined this word Armedoxy. Because we can talk about Armenian Orthodoxy all we want, and we can talk about the saints, we can talk about the forefathers, we can talk about the fathers of the church, we could talk about scripture. But we are children of the 21st century, and we are being not only influenced, we are being bombarded by the culture, by life in the 21st century. Just a few years ago, and you know, I'm very happy that we found this. A few years ago, 2005, I was asked to give, I was very honored, I have to tell you, I was very honored that I was asked to give a presentation at the University of Southern California in the presence of His Holiness Karekin II, the Catholicos of all Armenians. He was on his pontifical visit, and there was a symposium about globalization and the Armenian Church. And I'm very pleased that we, from the big Apostle archives, actually it's from the In His Shoes archives, believe it or not, we finally got a little bit of money together, and we hired somebody to start going through some of the archives of the last 7 years since we've put together In His Shoes. And we actually found the video from that conference, Globalization in the Armenian Church. And it's up on our website right now. It's a Vimeo broadcast. It's about an hour long. I invite you to take a look at it. We talk about the influences, how globalization is influencing not only our church, but the children of the church. And so in many ways, when we talk about Armenian Orthodoxy, we're not talking about just a set of principles, a set of givens from the early centuries alone. We're talking about those things coming into play with the 21st century and how we as children of the 21st century are processing that. Does that make sense? Well, think about it in these terms. Many times I've been annoyed many times because I've done a lot of work with the youth, and I hear this cliche. It's a familiar cliche. I know if you've been anywhere around people that have a concern about tomorrow, there's this cliche that is always used. The children are the future of our, whether it's an organization, whether it's a church, corporation, the children are the future of our school. The children are the future of our church, of our faith. Fill in the blank. The children are the future. And I hate this cliche. How can anybody be the future? Doesn't that discount their presence today? The children are the church today, just as you and me are. We are today. What about the future? There is no future. The future is today. We are living it. And if you're going to be living with this idea and expectation that tomorrow may come and you're going to plug in at that time, you've lost most of life, haven't you? And I think in the same way when we talk about Armenian Orthodoxy, when we talk about especially Armenian Church, we get hung up with the past and fail to realize that we as children of today in the 21st century also are a part of that Armenian Church with the same rights and the same privileges. And this is like a marriage contract that takes place. A lot of times when I counsel couples that come in and they talk about they're going to get married, one of the first things I tell them, especially in Armenian families, is that you have the rights and the privileges of a family. And you think that that's a given, but no, not for many people. Because many people will say that, okay, what did my parents say? What did my parents telling me about? No. That's nice. They've brought you to this point, but now the life is yours. You are crowned as a king and queen during the Armenian Orthodox Rite. Not as husband and wife, but as a king and a queen. And therefore you have rights, you have privileges, and at the same time you have responsibility to your subjects. You have responsibility to your life. And so you are empowered as a king and queen. In the same way, when you are married within the church, or as a subject of the church, as a participant of the church, let's just say it, you're a member of the church, you are the here and now. You're not something in the future, but you have the rights, the privileges, and remember that word, responsibility to the church. And so I can never discount myself as being a part of that Armenian Orthodox tradition. And so when I come to you and I say that we are looking at life through the lenses of Armenian Orthodoxy, yes, it comes with that tradition from back then, from 2,000 years ago from the time of Christ, from 13 billion years ago from the time of creation. And it comes all the way to today, when you and I are sitting here and talking, and there might be a flute riff that talks to my soul. There might be a small little passage that I read a few weeks ago, I shared with you, on Alexander Solzhenitsyn's writing. Something from a Russian writer. It speaks to me. It helps me in drawing my conclusions in who I am, how I function, and most importantly, how I function with others. How I deal with others. How I get on with this life. That's what we call Armenian Orthodoxy. So I have no problem bringing in a character like John Lennon to the discussion. Had he been alive, this coming month, October, had he been alive, he would have been 70 years old. That blew me away. I just heard that. And yeah, it made sense. Yeah, he was born in 1940. Of course I knew that. One of my early heroes, one of the early bands that I listened to. I remember getting my first Beatle album. I think it was my aunt who gave me this Beatle album, and it had little descriptions of each of the Beatles. And I remembered the dates they were born, 1940, 1942 for Paul McCartney. Ringo and John, they were 40. I remember 1943 for George Harrison. I remembered these dates. And so the other day, I'm listening to news, and they said John Lennon would have been 70 years old this coming month. I thought to myself, you know, he's just as much a part of my reality, in my expression, in the way that I perceive Armenian Orthodoxy, Armenian Church. Yes, you could say that, well, the purity's gone, but you could say that at any point. St. Gregory the Illuminator came in from Parthenia. You had St. Mesrop Mashtots going around looking for the alphabet, going to different countries. You could see Nerses Shenorhali in his writings, talking about the eternal being. You're talking about influences from all over. And so this idea that somehow there is this purity, you don't want purity. Purity doesn't make sense. It means you're dead. The only thing that doesn't change is something that's dead. You know, you take it and you put it in the ground. Remember the parable of the money. Jesus talks about a man who gives three of his servants different amounts. To one he gives $10, to one he gives $5, to one he gives $1. Let's adjust it to inflation. 10,000, 5,000, 1,000. The guy with 10,000 takes it and he makes 20 out of it. The guy with 5,000 takes it and he produces another 5,000. In other words, taking those talents and producing something out of it. You say, well, what does this have to do with what you're talking about being influenced? Well, that's exactly it. In other words, it's living. So because it's living, it has an opportunity to produce. The guy who took the 1,000 and hid it in a small little handkerchief and then buried it is like all the people that are basically dead. It doesn't change. It just decays to the point that there's no use for it at the end. That's what life with no purpose is. And I think that a lot of times what happens, especially in traditional churches, such as the Armenian Church, we give too much, listen to this very carefully, we give too much credibility to the past at the cost of discounting the present. I need to say that again. We give too much credibility to the past. Give it credibility. But we give too much credibility to it at the cost of discounting the present. In other words, the present is also valid. It's just as valid as the past. But you need to be connected to that past. And this is important too. This is a difficult one. It really takes some time to think about it. Because it really sets us apart in what we're trying to do as Armenian Orthodoxy today. The past is there. It is a history. You need to build on it. And you need to be connected to it. But you also have to give validity. And you have to appreciate and celebrate today. Because you are a continuation of a chain. You are the last link on that chain. And as such, you're needed. You're needed to continue that chain. Now this is quite different from what Protestantism is, right? Especially many of the Protestant sects that we see today sprouting, and some of them very, very popular. You get a lot of people following. Basically, you get something from the past, but you're not connected to it. So you'll see a minister, you'll see a preacher, take a Bible and basically create a past. How do you do that? Well, for one thing, the Old Testament is basically Jewish history. You take that as your own. And you say, okay, here is our history. How is that your history? How is that your history? Well, they claim it. And they take it and they say, here is our past. And then they develop on it. And now they have created a life in the past. But today's interpretation is missing the centuries in between. So all of a sudden, what was written in the scriptures, what was written in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, all of a sudden has a relevance to today because bits and pieces were taken. As opposed to what we try to do in Armenian Orthodoxy, where we say, look at it through the line, through the chain that began with the first link, beginning at the time of creation, and the most precious and golden link that brings creation and us together, right in the middle, Jesus Christ. And us as the final link, the only hope for which continuation goes, is for us to be connected to the past and continuing on to the future. And if we could see ourselves as such, what happens at that point? We understand that we are equally valid as our past. In other words, an Armenian Orthodox Christian is not just Saint Mesrop Mashtots, not just Saint Vartan Mamegonian, not Nerses Shnorhali. It wasn't just our grandfather. In fact, it is us. We are the new Armenian Orthodox Christian, and as part of that chain, we have our links open for the next generations to come. And the next generations, believe it or not, just as we were influenced by the past, will be influenced by us. And that means the life that we live in the 21st century. Hey, we talked a few weeks ago about 9/11. It changed everything in this world. Terrorism, right? We learned words like Al-Qaeda. Hey, I don't know about you. I grew up in American public schools. We learned that there was always a U after a Q. Q-U, right? Now we got words like Al-Qaeda. There's no U there. We got Iraq ending with a Q. Our lives changed. Everything changed all of a sudden. We became more aware. Now, the Armenian Christian, the Armenian Orthodox Christian is living in a world that has been influenced by this as well, by the politics of the day. And to assume that he's going to sit here and talk about things that came from the 3rd or 4th century is absurd. Because as part of his, remember that word that I said a few minutes ago? His responsibility, he needs to be able to process the past with what's going on today. This is our understanding. This is what we do here when we talk about Armadoxy. It's really a living faith. It's not something that you find in textbooks. It's how to make it alive. In fact, if you follow our shows on Wednesday evening, we're doing a series called Questions in Faith. This season, we're talking about issues that are taking place today and how we as Armenian Orthodox Christians can answer it. For instance, here in California, we were putting a man to death. The death penalty was going to be implemented. Actually, today, as we're broadcasting, it should have taken place, but one of the judges put a stay on the execution. Now, we as Armenian Christians, practicing Armenian Orthodoxy, don't we have something to say about this? I mean, we're certainly paying taxes to a state, and the state is executing, therefore we are part of that execution process. Does our faith have something to say about it? Do we have something to say about it? That's what we're looking at in Questions in Faith, every Wednesday evening. And that's what Armenian Orthodoxy really is the challenge in front of it. It has to be relevant to the life that we lead, to the life that we live, so that when Lindsay Lohan stands there in a courtroom crying and sobbing that life hasn't been fair to her, we need to be able to look at that and put it inside of some structure of what life is all about, right? And we have fun doing it. I'm going to take a little break right now. We're going to come back with, I promise we're going to talk about revolution. We're going to take a look at some of the music of John Lennon. We're going to look at his life very superficially today. I want to come back to it throughout the month of October. We have Ani coming up with her bubbles. But right now we've got an exciting announcement, and I'm going to let Susie make it for us.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. I just wanted to take a moment to share with you the excitement we're feeling with the expansion of our epostle.net programming. We are pleased to announce the addition of Armenian Language Bible Study to our line of podcasts. These studies are led by Mashtos Chobanyan and are sure to educate and inspire the listener. The Armenian Language Bible Study is streamed live at our site every Monday morning, 10 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and then archived with all of our other programming. Whether you watch it live or later in archived form, you'll find this series of Armenian Bible studies a welcome addition to your spiritual journey. Of course, our Question of Faith series and The Next Step continue in their usual time slot. So join us at epostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe. That's epostle.net.
Thank you.
The Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center here in Glendale is where we originate these programs. It's where the studio is. It's where In His Shoes mission, the ground zero place, point is. It's where we have divine liturgy every Sunday morning. And the local community here is rather, well, it's a pretty much Armenian-speaking, newly immigrated group of people. And we do have Bible studies every week for the local community. And I'm very pleased that Mashtos Chobanyan, who's been doing it for the last couple of years, has agreed to go on as a broadcast. So you will be getting basically the same service like we do our questions in faith. And you'll want to tell your family, your friends, those people from far away can now tune in to Armenian language Bible studies. And that's every Monday morning. Again, let me just repeat what Susie said, the details, because it is brand new. Actually, you know what? The easiest thing is go to our website, epostle.net, and you'll see it. That's the easiest thing. But it is live on, let's say, Monday mornings, Pacific Daylight Time, 10 o'clock. Hey, that means you people in Europe who have been checking out the archives the following day on our English Bible studies, in this case, this is going to happen right at your dinner time. It's going to be like 6 in the evening, 7 in the evening. So rather than hang out at the pubs drinking that warm British ale, you know, hang out in front of your computer. It tastes a lot better. It goes down a lot smoother, let me tell you that. Anyway, this is going to be the Bible study program, and do check us out at epostle.net. And why not? The harpist is here. Honey's ready. Let's listen to today's bubble.
The House with Golden Windows. Today's spiritual bubble. A little girl lived in a small, very simple, poor house on a hill. She would play in the garden, and as she grew, she was able to see over the garden fence and across the valley to a wonderful house on the hill. And this house had golden windows, so golden and shining that the little girl would dream of how magic it would be to grow up and live in a house with golden windows instead of an ordinary house like hers. And although she loved her parents and her family, she yearned to live in such a golden house and dreamed all day about how wonderful and exciting it must feel to live there. When she got to an age where she gained enough skill and sensibility to go outside her garden fence, she asked her mother if she could go for a bike ride outside the gate and down the lane. After pleading with her, her mother finally allowed her to go, insisting that she kept close to the house and didn't wander too far. The day was beautiful, and the little girl knew exactly where she was heading. Down the lane and across the valley, she rode her bike until she got to the gate of the golden house across the other hill. As she dismounted her bike and leaned it against the gate post, she focused on the path that led to the house, and then on the house itself. She was so disappointed as she realized all the windows were plain and rather dirty, reflecting nothing other than the sad neglect of the house that stood derelict. So sad, she didn't go any further and turned, heartbroken, as she remounted her bike. As she glanced up, she saw a sight to amaze her. There, across the way, on the other side of the valley, there was a little house and its windows glistened golden as the sun shone on her little home. She realized that she had been living in her golden house, and all the love and care she found there was what made her home a golden house. Everything she dreamed was right there in front of her. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Thank you, Ani. Kind of an appropriate one for us today when we talk about revolution. You say, yeah, you know, sometimes you want revolution, and what do you want, really? Something that you already have? Thank you. That was a good one. What was that song a few years ago? Oz never gave nothing to the Tin Man that he didn't already have before. That's kind of a few double negatives. But you get the idea. Well, Dorothy said it best, right? There's no place like home. And you look around, and then you realize that you had it all along. And that's one of the big problems with revolution. Sometimes you revolve so much, you revolve everything that you're doing, that there's no turning back. So you better really have it planned. Yes, all of this by way of a preface, a prelude to our topic of revolution, John Lennon. Let's talk a little bit about John Lennon, because as I told you, I was really surprised when I heard that he would have been 70 had he been alive this coming month, October 9th, he would have turned 70. And, you know, somehow that number 70, I know it's just numbers, but somehow it doesn't jive with what we remember as John Lennon, as this young guy coming and really revolutionizing, changing, or revolving, leaving a footprint, leaving a very big footprint on culture, on life. And really, not only America, but the world has not been the same. I remember a few years ago watching a documentary about how during the Cold War era, how difficult it was to get the Beatles' music into the Soviet Union, yet the people themselves had figured out ways of really bootlegging the Beatle music and getting it into the Soviet Union, and people were listening. I mean, they touched every aspect of life. I was talking about it with my nephew Nadek just a couple of weeks ago, in fact, because he had mentioned that, you know, as young people, they just start discovering the Beatles, and he's been a big fan of the Beatles for several years, but of course he's come onto it as a second, third generation, someone not there during the time when the Beatles were really a group. And he made the comment that they were a revolutionary group, that they were really a group that made an impact on the world. And yes, definitely, the Beatles were there. But also, we had a really good discussion, because you got to remember that the Beatles were not just this isolated incident in the 1960s. The 1960s was a revolutionary period. In the United States. I mean, you think about that one decade. You have a new president coming in who is a Roman Catholic, one of the youngest presidents elected. He sits on top of this Bay of Pigs incident, which could have caused World War III within a few seconds. We saw him assassinated before our very eyes. And this is still pre-Beatles. Beatles were just hitting right around 1963 toward the end. And there it was, November 1963. John Kennedy is shot. And if you're familiar with the story, if you were there, you'll obviously remember it. Not only was he shot, but the guy who shot him was found. And as he's handcuffed, another guy comes up and shoots him. In front of all the TV cameras, and we see this guy getting killed, and he was silenced. Nobody knows who killed him or what the motives were, what the purpose was. You can only speculate. Lee Harvey Oswald killed by a guy named Jack Ruby, and they catch this guy Jack Ruby, and within 6 months he has cancer, he dies. And so all of a sudden there's a question mark. Not only on the assassination, not only on what's going on with John Kennedy, but do we trust the government? Do we trust the government? I mean, you're talking about the United States government, which just finished World War II and created the best generation ever. A group of people that went and fought with valor, fought for all of the needs of this country, and following the FDR presidency and the recovery from the recession. And now in the 60s, we started putting a question mark next to the government. Because not only was the young president assassinated, but also Vietnam. Young kids were being assassinated in a war nobody really understood. Then President Lyndon Johnson, he can't take it. And he steps down after one term in office. Richard Nixon comes in, and Richard Nixon is thrown out of office. But we're getting ahead of the game. That's 1974, back in the 60s. I mean, there were more assassinations. Robert Kennedy, the second Kennedy brother. Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, civil rights. People were saying, hey, we're American, and we're being treated as second, third-class citizens. The upheaval on the streets, riots, and in the midst of all that, you had the Beatles coming and talking about love and peace and saying the way to this love and peace is we need a revolution.
You say you want a revolution, well, you know, we all want to
changing the world. Well, not everybody aspires to such grandiose ideas and plans and projects. But I'll tell you what, revolution is a very, very important part of the Christian life. In fact, it is at the root of the idea of repentance. Repenting, in Armenian, the word is abashadokyun. It means to turn around, to revolve. And that revolution comes about in life in many forms. Yes, politically, socially, we've seen it. We've been a witness. But it also has to come about personally. When you realize that your life has gone in a wrong direction, when things are out of sync, much like what we were experiencing in the 60s, people being assassinated without understanding why or who. We too in our lives have those big question marks. Why are these things happening? Why aren't things in sync? And that's the time for the revolution. John Lennon challenged us as a society really to look beyond the things that we were accustomed to look at. I'll never forget the first time I heard his song Imagine. At first you think of it as this anti-religion mantra, until you realize that really it is the mantra of religion. I remember in one of my graduate classes in psychology, the professor coming in and just basically saying, your mission as psychologists is to eliminate a need for you. What? Wait a minute. Aren't we going to be working as psychologists? Yes, you are. But that's your job, is to eliminate a need for you. That's why people get into therapy. Whether it's psychotherapy, personal counseling, whatever it is. Not to create a dependency on you. Not to create a relationship with you. But so that person can revolve. Can find him or herself. And get on with life. And I think this is the point that we make when religion is really enacted and you're really living a religious life. Imagine there is no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell or heaven, nothing to live or die for. I mean, isn't that the point of religion? Not to confine us by the boundaries, but to really set us free. To realize that it is beyond the heaven and hell experience. I don't live my life because of a promise of heaven or a fear of hell. I live my life because it is a God-pleasing life. Otherwise, what good am I? What good am I if I'm living for the rewards or fear of the punishments? And John Lennon challenged us with that basic beat, with that beautiful melody, but also some inspirational words.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. Imagine all
pretty basic, isn't it? Imagine this world where there is no heaven or hell, and there's nothing to live or die for. You don't need to kill somebody to believe in what you're believing. You don't need to go to war with that person to convince them to believe what you're believing. People living in harmony. I remember a few years back when I had a parish up in San Jose, California, and I was the parish priest there, and I made a reference exactly to this point and really challenged the congregation to think, what would Jesus listen to? Do you really think that Jesus would object to this message? And of course, yes, we ruffled a few feathers. There were a few people that, well, they weren't listening to this. They didn't like it that I would dare to bring up John Lennon in the middle of a sermon in an Armenian church. But you know what? This is where the challenge is for all of us. When we're talking about Armenian Orthodoxy, Armadoxy, it is a faith that goes back to the beginning of time. And it connects to this harmony. This harmony. I mean, when you think about Armenians living at the cross-section of three continents and not really having any military or military strategy and surviving, I'll tell you, it's something greater there that kept them alive, that has allowed them to survive and live in that place. It's not the weapons of war, it's the weapons of love. Every so often someone comes along and repeats this message. It's an important message, and you got to really ask yourself, what was Jesus all about? St. John says it so beautifully, you cannot love God who you do not see when you don't love the brother that you do see. It's living in harmony. Jesus repeatedly said this. If you go to the altar of God and you take your gifts and you realize someone has something against you, leave your gifts at the altar and go and reconcile. In other words, for Jesus, there's something more important than that homage that you pay to God. It's the reconciliation with your brothers and with your sisters. I'm going to leave you with this today. A challenge. We'll be returning throughout the month of October. We'll remember the work of John Lennon. Maybe look at a few other pieces too. I think that this is very special for me today. This particular next step. I mean, think about it. We ran the gamut, didn't we? We played some flamenco music. We played Christos Imeç, a hymn of the Armenian Church, with duduks playing, with the duduk instrument. And we played John Lennon. Where else can you get this? Well, it all comes back to one thing, right? Armadoxy.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the third year of production and growing daily with new listeners around the globe. This new message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. Epostle.net is the voice of Armadoxy, committed to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we need to avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at the inhisshoes.org website. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, Well, I think that's a nice way of bringing an end to today's show. Thank you, Susie. And Susie's going to be back in just a few minutes with an announcement that you are going to love. I guarantee it. It's coming up. And I can't tell you more. It's just fantastic. I heard her rehearse for this, and let's see if she could pull it off today. Yes, we are going to see if you can really do it, Susie. Anyway, she's coming up in a couple of minutes with a great announcement. It's sort of a disclaimer of sorts. Kind of goes with the theme we've been talking about. But listen, to remind you, every dollar that you give goes a long way. I mean, we stretch those dollars. The bandwidth, the equipment that we have, the microphones, just everything costs money. And we rely on your donations to make this happen. We are reaching out to places that we never dreamed of. But of course, we should dream it. We should imagine it. Because it is the power of God working through all of us. You, me, all of us together, putting our energies together and getting this message out. A message of love, harmony, hope, and peace. That's what it's all about. Armadoxy, we call it. Hey, listen, it has been a great show. I gotta tell you, I really enjoyed this one today. Today was a fun one. I mean, it took us all over. We went all over the place, didn't we? From Dudukes to John Lennon to Gabriella. Oh, man, we had fun. But the fun continues. You can check out our website, inhisshoes.org, and you can check out our other website, epostle.net, for, well, the broadcast that we have. And every Wednesday evening, we have live streaming of our Questions in Faith. Monday mornings, we have live streaming of Armenian Bible Study featuring Mashtos Jobanyan. And, of course, our next step, this episode, as well as every other next step that has come from the beginning of time, yes, 13 million years ago, billion years ago, it arrives today on epostle.net. You will not want to miss that. Apostle with an E. Epostle, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe. It has been a pleasure to be with you. We look forward to seeing you again next week for the wonderful staff that puts this all together, that pulls this all together. For Ani with her bubbles, for Ken our engineer, for Susie our producer. This is Father Boskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
The next step is produced by epostle.net and features comments and instruction by Father Vazquez Movsesian. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience, not valid with any other offer.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.